The book of Ezra. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. You know, in the New Testament, Paul wrote and he said, stir up their minds. But here we see that God reached out to someone who we would, when we talk about Cyrus, king of Persia, it would not be automatic that we would say, oh yeah, he believes in God. But God is able to reach someone like that by his spirit. In fact, if we go down to verse 3 in parentheses, it says, he is the God. The statement is made. So Cyrus believes in one God, not in many gods, but one God. And he is the most powerful ruler of his time, an empire, a kingdom. And God is able to stir anyone up, even the least obvious choice to the rest of us, and use them for his purpose. And the Lord stirred him up. He inspired him. He filled him with the Spirit. Look, the Bible doesn't say that God came to Cyrus in a vision, right? It says he stirred his spirit. And that's an internal work. And by the way, it's an internal work that we need. We need our spirits stirred. We need to be stirred up. And we need to be enthusiastic. Again, the word enthusiastic in Theos, it's God in us. That's what the word means, to be enthusiastic. We ought to be enthusiastic about his work, about his word, about the church, about winning the lost, about loving the saints. We ought to be all about that. We ought to get excited about that. And here, God chose someone that I would not have expected, but God stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. That's what the Bible says. Verse 2, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. So we see that the Spirit of God in Cyrus made him what? Give me one word. Wise, that's a good one. Testify, what's that? Reverent. How about grateful? How about, look, God did this. I didn't do this, God did this. And Cyrus, the most powerful king, says, look, God gave me this. Boy, shouldn't we look at our lives, everything we have, and say, God did this. God was good to me. There are people out there that have the same beginnings as we did, had the same opportunities that we did, and yet God has blessed us and poured out his favor on us to bring us where we are. God is good to us. And if Cyrus can say that, surely we can say that. Surely we can say, look at what God has done. I don't know if you ever heard about that farmer, Brother Bill's here tonight, so I think I can fit a joke in. This guy bought some property, and he started working the land, and he got it looking real nice. And the parson came by, and he said, my, look at what you and the Lord have done with this land. The farmer said, you should have seen it when God had it by himself. Oh, But we ought to look at our lives and look at what God has done. God has done this. Yes, he expects our participation. You don't stand there with a shovel and pray for a hole. No, you put your foot on that thing and put some work behind it. And that's what God needs in our lives. That's what God expects of us. And that's what God empowers. God empowers and favors work and effort. And so we could put out a sign and say, hey, we're a church, but we've got to work to get people in God's house. We've got to work to get people in God's kingdom. It's our work. God will bless our work, but he won't bless our laziness. And Cyrus says, look at what God has done. He's given me all the kings of the earth. And then he says this, God has charged me, we're still in verse 2, to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now, why would Cyrus write that in the decree? Because people said, Jerusalem, where's that? What's that got to do with us? He said, it's in Judah. So there was a very specific place, but God laid it on the heart of Cyrus the king to build him a house. He gave him a burden, and it was his burden. God gave him that burden, and he received that as my call. This is my calling. I don't know if you noticed, but it's 18 years ago tonight, Brother Jimmy called and said, Brother Derek, the church has voted to call you in. 18 years today. And boy, that was the call of God. Not just the call of the church, but the call of God through the church to bring us together. And so, hey, look at what God's done. Amen. But God did that, and God placed that call. But what if God put that burden on the church, and the church extended that call to me, but I didn't have a burden? By the way, there were a few churches along in my first search for a pastorate who extended a call, but I didn't feel a burden. And I prayed about it. I said, Lord, is this where you want me to go? He didn't say yes. And I had one guy, he called me and said, well, if you don't say yes tonight, then we're going to just withdraw it. Because it had gone on a week or two without an answer. And I said, well, if that's what you got to do, it's what you got to do. But I don't go anywhere until God tells me to. I need a burden. You don't want to hire a preacher. You want to call someone that God gave a burden to, a mission, a purpose. And so he says, God's given me this charge to build a house for him in Jerusalem, which is in Judah, verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people who believes in the God of heaven? Who are his people? Now, he put this out to everyone. And you know, there were some that answered, and they said, we'll go. And when they started looking in their documents, they couldn't find genealogy that proved that they were who they said they were. And so, you know what? They weren't included. They said, well, we're here to work, and we're here to... And they said, well, show us your papers. And it didn't prove anything. It didn't prove their lineage. And so they said, well, you can't do it. I'm sorry, but you just can't. This is for God's people. And you know, people don't like to be excluded. But let me tell you something about the church, about church services. Our work to win the lost is when we go out those doors. This is for God's people to get recharged and to get re-energized and to get re-enthusiastic. This is for God's people in here. And yes, we'll present salvation. We'll put a gospel call out. We'll talk about all of the baby steps, if you will, the fundamental steps of entering into the Christian life. But this service and every service we have is geared toward teaching God's people and equipping God's people to work. Do we understand that? We're not going to have a show and try to draw the world in. This is not for the world. This is for God's people. Now, we want to go out there and get the world. That's fine. But we're not going to do things that are attractive to fleshly, worldly, ungodly people in here. We're not going to do it. Except give them fried chicken. We do that sometimes. In the other building. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And so, the call went out. Hold on a second. Did I read that right? Cyrus said, God told me to build him a house. But Cyrus never lifted a hammer. Cyrus didn't go to Jerusalem. Cyrus delegated, he appropriated to the appropriate people that the people that wanted to, that were burdened to, that were called to, that their spirit stirred them to, they should do it. And he was in favor of it. He authorized it. But he didn't do it. He got others to do it. And that was what God wanted. God didn't expect Cyrus to go to Judah and build a temple. God wanted the Jews to do it because those are his people. Verse 4, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So not only did Cyrus encourage God's people to take responsibility for God's business, but he said, if there's anybody of your neighbors, anybody else that wants to be part of it, you can give toward it. You can participate. You can encourage the work. And that was the goal. That was the purpose, to support the project. Verse 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Isn't this great? You see how God's working? God didn't just surprise Cyrus, announce this, and get people excited. God was already working in others. He was already preparing them. They already had a burden and a vision. But who were they? They didn't have any authority. They didn't have any ability. But they had a burden. And then God says, now that you're ready, I'm going to make Cyrus ready. And so he gives this burden to Cyrus, and Cyrus announces it. And these guys and many others said, you know, I've been praying about that. You know, I've been thinking about that. I've been looking for an opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. I just didn't know we could. And now we can. Now we have a passport. Now we have authority to go back and build and to do this great work. Remember, they were in captivity. Many of the people who went to Jerusalem were not going back to Jerusalem. They had never been there. They had only heard about this beautiful temple where God came down to meet with the priests, where the chorus, the choir sung and the musicians played and the sacrifices were made and the people prayed and were humbled before God. And God met with his people through the high priest in that place once a year. They had heard about it. They'd never seen it. So important. You know how many people there are? How tragic it is that there are children who've not only never been inside a church building, they've never heard the gospel. The gospel was presented. And you know what's worse than that is some of those parents got saved as children. And they strayed and they wandered. And they'd never passed that opportunity to their children. Isn't that part of the American dream? That our children should be better off than we are? Then if we want them to be better off, shouldn't we give them Jesus? Shouldn't we show them the way of salvation? They had heard about it. And God was working in their hearts and stirring them up. And then the announcement came and they stepped up and they said, hey, I've been wanting to go. I'll go. Verse 6, all they that were about them strengthened their hands. Their neighbors gave. Their friends gave. They said, look, we can't go. We've got responsibilities, but we're going to help you go. We can't go, but we want to be part of it. And so let us help you. Isn't that what we do with our missionaries? We don't. Maybe we never have to travel to another continent to serve God. But we should equip those that are going. Man, we should never make them feel like they're alone out there. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about Elijah. Remember, Elijah said, I'm by myself. Nobody but me is left. God said, I've got 7,000 who've never bowed their knee to the idols, to Baal. You're never by yourself, but sometimes we feel isolated and sometimes we feel alone. Our missionaries shouldn't feel that. Verse 6, all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Isn't that great? So far, have you really gotten a lot out of 6 verses? You know what brought us here? I was reading this chapter and I said, oh, look at verse 7. Look at this. Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And then he goes on and he names it. But here's the message. Those vessels were designed for God's purpose, for God's glory, for His worship, to serve Him. That the people could serve God with them. And they had been taken, stolen away, and had been repurposed to that which was ungodly, unholy. And now they were being returned to the rightful place to serve God again. The Bible talks about this. Paul said that we should know how to possess our vessel. You see, verse 7 is about us. Verse 7 is about God's people that were made for God's purpose, made to be holy, made to be consecrated and separated and purposed. But somewhere along the way, maybe, the devil came along and stole those vessels. We could look around and maybe look in our lives of loved ones who once served God as they were purposed to do. But somewhere along the way, they fell out. They fell away. They backslid. What happened? Jesus says, the sower went out to sow. And the seed fell, right, in different places. And said, this one over here, well, it sprung up, but it couldn't last. As soon as the heat got to it, it just withered away. And then there were some that the enemy came, the crows, the ravens, and snatched away. And isn't that exactly what the devil does with God's people? Steals us away, but hopefully just for a season. And we can be brought back. We can come back to God. Just because you're backslidden now, just because you're away from God now, doesn't mean you're lost forever. Come back. Come back. Let God use you. Come back and be holy for God's purpose. Come back and be sanctified. Come back and be set apart. Come back and be used in the way God created you to be. To be a blessing to God. To be useful in His service. A season of misuse does not negate the purpose of holiness. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What does that mean? It means God made us for something. He put a calling on us. And He never took it back. So just because you went through a hard time or went through a season where you were not being used for His purpose, you can be brought back in and used for His glory, as I hope we all will be. Let's stand. God, we love You so much, and what an encouraging message tonight in the book of Ezra. How exciting to see people who had only heard of Jerusalem and had only heard of the temple would now have a privilege and opportunity to be part of its recovery and restoration. Lord, I pray that we as vessels, though our desire is to never be stolen away and used by the enemy for unholy purpose, if we find ourselves in that situation, that we will find our way back to be used again, to be part of Your work. We pray that You will forgive our sins and make us useful. Hear the prayers and the burdens of Your people tonight and answer them out of Your heart, Your great love, Your great mercy, and great power. Dismiss us with Your blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.